Job chapter number 29. I want to look at verse number 2, take a text from verse number 2. We're moving along through the book of Job. We're not speeding through it, but we're moving along. Job chapter number 29 and verse number 2. There the Bible says, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." I want to take my text, these words, verse number 2, "Oh, that I were as in months past." Oh, that I were as in months past. I want to preach for a little while on this subject, longing for the good old days. And I think at that time in Job's life, he looked back. In fact, he speaks about things that were in the past. And I believe he had a longing that things were as they had been in months past for him. Now, sometimes we may reminisce about things in the past. We may relish thoughts of the past. And we may view some time in our past as the good old days. Sometimes a person may talk about a time in history as the good old days. Or he may talk about a time in his life as the good old days. Sometimes a person may talk about a simpler time in life. His mind may go back to things like playing out in the dirt and going out to the creek and fishing and swimming and a variety of other things that happened in his past life. And his mind may go back to things. He may think about a simpler time in life and relish the idea of what he considers to be the good old days. I realize that two people may look at the same time period in different ways. One person may look back at a simpler time in life. Another person may look at that same time in life and say, "Yeah, I remember it. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water. We didn't have hot showers. And there's a lot of things we didn't have." And so one person may speak negatively about a particular time in life, while another person reminisces and thinks positively about some time in their life. We might think about from a personal perspective. In our own lives, we may look back at times where it seems like things are going well. God was blessing. So many things that we can look back and thank the Lord for. Sometimes a person might have had a life in which early along there was terrible abuse, there were terrible things that happened, and then later on in life, things changed in a wonderful way. I was thinking about Deborah South, Bill South's wife. And in her lifetime, if I'm not mistaken, there were several children born before her father was saved. And then she was born after her father was saved. And so she remembered the father, the saved father, while some of the other children may look back at some bad memories from the life of the lost father. And sometimes a person may look back at life in a way in which they observe things, they think about things that happen positively. They might think about life before drugs and drunkenness and abuse and divorce wrecked their home. They may look back at a time like that. Another person might look at a time when a father and mother got saved, their life changed, and things got so much better in the home. And so from a personal perspective, we may look at a time in life and think, "That was a good time in my life." The Lord willing, I will be bringing a message for the radio on the transition generation. I believe this is it. About 25 years ago, I guess now, I preached on the transition generation. And now I believe we are in it. And I believe that the young people that are alive today are going to see things that they've never seen, we've not seen in our past. I believe that things are going to change. I think America is on the precipice. America is right on the verge. It is so close to plunging to the wrong direction, even worse than it is today. Thank God for the mercy of God, the grace of God. Thank the Lord for all the things that are being held back. But still, I believe there's such a terrible tendency in this nation to go the wrong way. I believe this is a transitional generation. I think some of you young people, some of you young adults may look back at this time in your life and say, "That was a good time." And then later on, some things may happen in your life that are hard. But still, God's grace is good all the way through. Never lose sight of the fact that God is still in control. God is good all of the time. God is always good all of the time. Now I want you to consider a few verses from chapter number 29. In fact, in the first 17 verses, let's consider some truths, some things that Job brought out about his own life. Beginning with verse number 1, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said." Now here the Bible uses the word parable. It's God that gave the word parable there. These are not just in the words of Job, but it was God that spoke of this as a parable. Back in verse number 1 of chapter 27, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said." In verse number 1 of chapter number 26, we have, "But Job answered and said," and so we have this beginning of this 6th chapter section from Job, and here in this chapter, Job is continuing his parable. When we think about a parable, we might think about something that is laid alongside of something else. We might think about a story, and it might be a true story, it might be a fable, but whatever the case, a story, for instance, that is laid alongside something in life. And by laying one thing alongside of another thing, it may help us to have some insight concerning that which we are considering. We might consider a straight edge, for instance, being laid alongside of something to see, is it straight or not? And if we see that there's the same distance from one end to the other, from the straight edge to the object that we're checking, we may say, well, that is straight. But then if we see a crook in it, we may say, well, that's not straight. I've checked it by the straight edge. As far as a parable, laying something down beside something else and laying it down for the purpose of comparison. And so here I believe that Job has laid down and is continuing to lay down some truths about himself and truths about God, God's works, and God's ways alongside of the current situation that Job is in. And in doing so, I believe Job has had the hope to show his friends that they were crooked in some of their condemnation of him. They were wrong in some of their assessments of him. And so he continues on in his parable. Notice, if you will, verse number 2. "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." Now to Job, I think the days past were some good days. Job had been a very wealthy man. In the book of Job, chapter number 1, verse number 3, "His substance also was," and the Bible talks about things that he had. And then it continues on in the same verse to say, "So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." Now some people might have looked at Job's situation and said, yeah, those are good days. He was a wealthy man back then. But if you look at the writing of Job, there's not a great emphasis placed upon his wealth. I think this gives us some indication of the value system of Job. In fact, if you will, look at chapter number 31, and beginning with verse number 24, chapter 31 of Job, beginning with verse 24. "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great, and mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above." And I believe that gives us a little indication of how Job viewed his wealth. I don't think that Job thought that wealth in and of itself was what made the past, the days of the past, good days. Notice, if you will, in that verse number 2, he said, "In the days when God preserved me." We might consider as we go through this section of Scripture a time in which God protected Job, and a time in which men respected Job. Things have so changed. And it's not that there was no protection for Job, but still, during that time period, God had allowed Satan to unleash attacks against him. There were so many hard things that happened to Job during that time, and so many men lost their respect from Job. Now, actually, it should have been that their respect was enhanced by seeing how well Job did under such circumstances. But instead, men lost their respect for this great man, Job. Notice, if you will, verse number 3. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I had walked through darkness. Notice, his candle shined upon my head. There was a time in which there was so much light for Job, and yet this was, as it might be said, a dark time for Job. I want you to consider, in contrast to that verse, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 and verse number 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now, in verse number 3, the Bible said, when his candle shined upon my head. In this other scripture, think about the lamp unto his feet, and the light unto his path, an inner light. Can a man walk in the light and still be in the darkness? We might think about that even in this time, Job had available to him a lamp for his feet and a light for his path, an inner light. Now, there were a lot of things he didn't understand. There was a lot of darkness about him. Even today, of course, a person may walk with some kind of light. He may light his pathway. He may light where his feet are going to step. A person today may have an inner light where the Holy Spirit is enlightening him and the Word of God is enlightening him. And yet, even in the midst of a dark, dark time, there can be that darkness about him, but the light within him, and the light telling him, helping him to know where to step, where to take that next step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, I believe that Job still had light. In fact, you look at his life, during this time even, I believe there's evidence, there's so much evidence that Job still had light to do that which was right. But on the other hand, God had not shown his light on all the circumstances. God had not shown him why all of these things were taking place. So there was a shroud of darkness, as it might be said, but he still had light. No matter how hard things get in this life, no matter how dark the circumstances may seem to be, if you are saved by the grace of God, you still have light. You can still walk in that light. You don't have to stumble around like a man that has no light, but you can walk in the light even in a dark time. Notice, if you will, in verse number 4, the Bible says, as in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The secret of God. Psalm 25, verse number 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Daniel chapter number 2, verses 21 and 22, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in Him. Now, the Lord had not seen fit to show Job all that was going on, But here the Bible talks about in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. How do you explain the prosperity of Job? I remember, sometimes people put so much emphasis upon material prosperity. But then there's also spiritual prosperity. How do we explain the spiritual prosperity? And then along with that, also there was the material prosperity of Job. God was the secret of his success. Now, even though God allowed his material things to be attacked by Satan, even though God allowed him to go through great loss, spiritually, God was still the secret of his success. And the reason why Job could live so victoriously in the midst of all this hardship was because God was helping him. I think probably some of the people might have looked on Job and thought to themselves, How is it that Job has done so well? This is before the captivity of Satan. How is it Job is doing so well? God helped Job. Then notice, if you will, the next verse. When the Almighty was yet with me, and when my children were about me. Now there was a time when his children were about him. He had 7 sons. He had 3 daughters. There came that one great catastrophic event, and I believe that all 7 of his sons and 3 daughters were lost. There may have also been, along with those daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws and grandchildren, there may have been a number of people that were lost, not just the 10, but others that were lost as well in that terrible event. And so at this time, Job may have looked back about when his children were about him. And remember, Job had a concern for them, a concern for them spiritually. And he cared for his children spiritually, his adult children spiritually. And there came that time, though, when he lost his children. And I believe at this time, this hard, hard time in his life, he looked back when his children were about him. And then notice, if you will, verse number 6. When I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. God had blessed Job so much. What was butter? Think about a man having so much butter. What is butter? Wash his steps with it. Think about the oil flowing forth. What is oil when there's so much? Like the days of Solomon, the King Solomon, when gold was as stones. What is gold when gold is as stones? Job had gone through that time of tremendous prosperity. God had done so much for him, even materially. Then notice, if you will, verse number 7. In fact, verses 7 through 12. When I went out to the gate and through the city and prepared my seat in the street. There was a time when Job wasn't sitting in an ash heap scraping his sores, but instead, Job was in a place of leadership. There was a time when the young men and the aged and the princes and the nobles all had a respect for Job. There was a time when men would be silent before Job. They had such a respect for Job. Oh, but how things had changed. In fact, Lord willing, we'll be getting into some things later on. But in this case, think of him looking back at how it used to be. And then beginning with verse number 12, here's a reason. Because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. Now here's a reason why Job was so respected. Here's the reason why that Job gave. Job was such a good man. Job had done good things. Job had earned the respect of his fellow men. Then notice beginning of verse number 13. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I cause a widow's heart to sing for joy. The effect of Job's righteous reputation, that even one ready to perish, a widow's heart would sing for joy. Then notice beginning with verse number 14. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. When we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, put on the breastplate of righteousness. In this case, we may think about Job being clothed with righteousness. So that when a person saw Job, he would see a man that was right. A man that did right. Think about, in this case, the Bible talks about the judgment. His judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Robed in judgment. The diadem crowned with judgment. He was a man of righteousness. He was a man of good judgment. Men looked on him. Men recognized the fact that he was a man of righteousness and good judgment. And then in the last verses in this section, beginning with verse number 15, I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. But now Job had been reduced to the point where, as far as I know, he might have still been an ash heap, still been scraping his sores before his friends. I don't know of any indication that things had changed in that sense. But he had been defending himself against the condemnation of his friends, the false accusations by his friends. The word may have gotten out to many so that many people had lost their respect for Job, a good man, a great man, an outstanding man. And Job said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, longing for the good old days." I want you to consider a few things. Speak for just a little while. I may pull something like Dr. Seidler. I don't know how many times Dr. Seidler, he'd go through his verses and then he wouldn't have much time to deal with his points. But I want to deal with a few things before I close. Longing for the good old days. One needs the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding from God to be able to discern the good in days gone by. Last week I was dealing with wisdom and understanding, and of course wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the great trilogy in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You don't even know what was good and what was bad in your past except by the grace of God. You cannot make a proper judgment of what was good in your childhood. You cannot make a proper judgment about what was bad in your childhood except by the grace of God. You need the leadership of the Lord. You need the Lord to give you the knowledge that you need to make the judgments that you should make. You need God to give you the wisdom so that you can handle the knowledge that God gives you as you should. You need the understanding so that God shows you what stands under the things that you see on the surface. You need the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding from God to even be able to recognize the good and the bad of your past. Without the grace of God, without the help of God, you might look at something that was bad when God says that was good. And you may look at something that was good when God says that was bad. When I say that, you may think of something as bad when God said that was good. You may think of it as good when God said that was bad. God knows the good and the bad. God knows the right and the wrong. God has a purpose for all that He allows in your life. When we talk about thanksgiving, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then you may hear somebody say, well, the Bible says there, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say give thanks for everything, but in everything give thanks. Well, you look at some other scripture, And the Bible makes it clear we're to give thanks for all things. Now, God knows why He has allowed things in your life. If we're not careful, we'll be misjudging what God has allowed in our lives. There's an old song that some of you might recognize, that God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. If I'm not mistaken, there's a portion of that song that says, "Judge not the Lord with feeble sense." And we can so easily misjudge what God has done in our lives. And we can so easily tag that which is bad as good, and that which is good as bad. We need the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding from God to be able to discern the good and bad in our lives. And then secondly, I want you to consider this. We're very prone to take the good of our days for granted. I don't know how it was in Job's life as far as his thoughts about his days gone by, but it might have been in the times past. It was easy for him to take for granted the fact that God had blessed him in so many ways. It might have been easy for him to take for granted the fact that he had the relationship that he had with God. God has strengthened him and allowed him to walk in righteousness so that God so highly complimented him. It was by the grace of God that he did so. It might have been that Job in the past, it had been easy for him to take for granted the fact that God had blessed him materially so abundantly and that he had such a reputation among men. And sometimes we can tend to take the good of our past days for granted. And then if we ever lose those good things, if we ever came to a point in our life where we didn't have the food that we have today, if we ever came to a point in our lives where we didn't have decent and durable clothing to wear on a regular basis, we ever went through a time in life where our freedom was much more severely restricted than it is today, then perhaps we look back and say, "That was some good days back there. I wish I could go back." I think in America, one of the great problems is that so many of us have taken for granted some good things in our past. And you might say, "Well, my mom and dad weren't saved. That doesn't mean there weren't any good things." There are so many good things. I thank the Lord that I'm in an independent Baptist church. I thank the Lord for this church. And I went to a Southern Baptist church, and there were a lot of problems in that church. But still, there were some good things. I was taught some good things. I was introduced to some good songs. There were some good things. Even though there were some bad, there were some good things back then. But sometimes we may, while we're living through good days, take for granted that God has done so many good things for us. And then number three, we may be sorely tempted to lose hope for better days in the midst of bad days. Job was at a time in his life where there was so much trouble. There had been so much devastation. And at that time in his life, I think Job might have wondered, would his life ever get any better? That is, his life on this side of eternity. Would his life ever get any better? Job, of course, did not know what was to come. Job did not know all the blessings that God would rain down upon him in time to come. But in the end of the book of Job, the Bible reveals some things to us. The Bible talks about the fact that God justified Job before his friends, verses 7 and 8. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore," and he goes on to talk about an offering, and toward the end of that particular verse, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken unto of me the thing that is right, like my servant Job. I certainly don't think Job ever thought God Himself would speak and justify him before his friends. But God did. And basically, his friends were wrong. And Job had spoken things that were right. And then I don't think that Job realized that even before his life was over, that God would give Job twice as much as he had before. In verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The Bible in verse number 12 says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. And it talks about different things that he had. And verse number 13 says, he had also seven sons and three daughters. Then the Bible goes on to say, down beginning of verse number 16, after this lived Job 140 years. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Now sometimes we're going through a hard time in life. We may lose hope of better days. But we don't know what all God has planned. And God has got the ability to reverse things. God's got the ability to overturn. God's got the ability to make such tremendous changes. 140 years. And think about seeing to the fourth generation. I imagine it was hard at this particular time, having lost his seven sons and his three daughters, and perhaps daughters-in-laws and grandchildren. But then to have so many children after that, if we're not careful, though, we may lose hope. We may get bitter. We may want to quit on God. We may want to turn on God instead of just continuing on with God. Now, let me say this. This is not a promise. Now, I'm not here to promise you. If you have some hard times in your life, that before it's over, it's going to get much better. I don't know. Sometimes a person may be going through some hard times in life, physically, financially, and it may be that it's not going to get better, but instead they'll go home and it'll get better. For all of us that are saved, it'll get better. If I consider this, let the children of God remember that our best days are yet to come. I don't know. I don't know if relief is coming for you and help is coming. If you're going through a hard time, I don't know. But I do know this. It'll get better down the road. There's an old story along this line that somebody stopped and asked a boy some directions. And the boy got talking about the directions and he said, the road's rough till you get to the graveyard. Then it gets better. It'll be better. Whether I go by death, whether God takes me out while I'm still living in the rapture, it'll get better. I have a rapture to look forward to. I have the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven with Christ to look forward to. I got the millennial kingdom to look forward to. I've got the everlasting kingdom to look forward to. It'll get better in time to come. And therefore, I believe that I should keep having hope. Now, let me say this. I found this interesting in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I find that very interesting, the context. The Apostle Paul, of course, under the inspiration of the Lord, gave us that scripture about if there is no resurrection from the dead, of course I believe he's combating false doctrine. If there is no resurrection from the dead, generally, there's no resurrection from the dead, Christ is not risen from the dead. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then, of course, people are not saved by the grace of God. Their sins are not forgiven, and their bodies should not be raised from the grave and so on. There's so many consequences if the dead rise not. And so, if a person had lived putting his hope in a false doctrine, he might have had some hope in this life. But if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. You know that most people, the only hope they have is in this life. They've got no good reason, they've got no biblical reason, they've got no logical reason to hope for anything better after this life. But I do. It'll get better. No matter what it's like to the end of my life, it'll get better after the end of this life. It is such a blessing that we've got so many good things to look forward to. Job looked back, and I believe that Job longed for some good old days. Job longed for it to be like it was in months past. But let's look forward with hope to what is to come. If you will, please stand.